If you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're in a series on I Changed My Mind. And we're talking about changing your mind about worry. How many of you worried this week after last week's sermon? Anybody? Oh, you did really good this week, right? Yeah, no more worry, right? No more fretting, no more anxiety. It seems to control our lives. There's only one position to be of anyone to control your life, and that's Almighty God. Holy Spirit, living God, to control you and to move in you and to lead you. There's no greater place than that. The scripture says in this passage of scripture to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Rejoice in the Lord always. Not just part-time rejoicing, not just half-time, not just a quarter of the time, not three-quarters of the time. It's rejoice in the Lord always. It's what we just sang about a few minutes ago in this worship set. We sang about praising God in the midst of the storm, in midst of great things happening, to come before Him and to let the praise of God continually be on my lips. That's what you just sang. That's what we just sang together. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now, let me just say something about that little phrase, rejoice in the Lord always. It means, listen, if you're not rejoicing in the Lord, start right now and don't stop. And actually, it is an imperative. It is a command of God. And you know, I think about the commands of God, and the Bible says they're not burdensome. But I don't know about you, but I go through stages and seasons of my life where I don't want to rejoice today. You ever been like that? Hey, everybody go like this. I'm not alone in this. I don't want to rejoice today. I want to just kind of soak in my grumbling and my complaint. And there's some people who like to soak in their grumbling and their complaint. And there's some people who say, well, it just takes me time to get over it. Well, bless your heart. Bless your heart. It takes you a little more time to get over it. But let me tell you, are you glad when somebody says that to you? It's going to take me a little time to get over it. No. Let me ask you a question. Does God take a little time to get over it? Does God need any time to get over whatever offense we've brought to God? Whatever we've done, however we've moved through this life that's not pleasing to God. You know, God doesn't say, well, it's going to take me a few weeks, few months, few years to get over what you've done to me. No, there is an instant access to God. And that's why we rejoice. That we're not rejoicing so much in the trial, although the Bible says when you do fall into various trials, consider it all joy. We're rejoicing in the Lord. That's who we're rejoicing in. We're rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just say this. You know, Bible says that, we talked about it last week in Romans chapter 12. It says, listen, the way that you find transformation in your life is to renew your mind, to change your mind. Do not be conformed to this world. In other words, don't act like the world acts. Don't respond how the world responds. You're different. And you're on a journey, you and I are on a journey of transformation. A journey of change. How many of you want to change today? Just raise. I mean, you look at your life, you want to change. No, I don't want to change. I'm just happy the way I am. And you're just going to have to get over it, preacher. No, let me tell you. Let me just tell you this. Is this not the reason why you are in church today? Is this not the reason why you worship? Is this not the reason why you've given your life to Christ? Is it not the reason why you've cried out to Him to take away your sins? Because I'm going to tell you, when He took away your sins, you changed. You changed. And God did something. But why do you want to stop midstream? Why do you want to stop midlife? No, listen, it's all about transformation. It's all about being changed. Matter of fact, one day the Bible says we'll all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. You know, there's a number of people who are sick today in our body. They've had stomach issues. And someone said to me, I've got a little stomach issue. Just kind of do me a elbow thing here. So we did an elbow. Dave, I think that was Dave. He said, man, I can't wait for the new body. One day there'll be a new body. And we'll all be changed in the twinkling of an eye when Christ appears. But in the meantime, we're changing. And if you don't want to change, if you don't want to be pressed a little bit to move to the next level in your walk with God, in your relationship with God, in your relationship with people, I'm just going to tell you, you're just going to miss out. And if that's your attitude, it needs to change. Now listen, transformation. You know, we talked about last week about changing your mind about worry. Got kind of a new little slant this week. Let's just change our mind about God and who He is. And when that happens, you'll change your mind about worry. You'll change your mind about attitude. You'll change your mind about your future. You'll change your mind about a whole lot of things that have kind of kept you in the pit, that's kept you in a place, and it may not even be the pit. It may just be you're just in a stall right now in your Christian life. But let's change our mind about God. And when you change your mind about God, you change your mind about everything. Not just worry, not just anxiety. And matter of fact, when you change your mind about God and who God is, you're able to say with all the conviction of the world, I choose to rejoice in the Lord because I've changed my mind about the Lord. I've changed my mind about who He is, what He's doing, and what He's come to accomplish in my life. I've changed my mind about Him. And so He says, listen, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'm saying it again, rejoice. Rejoice. If you're not doing it, start right now and keep on doing it. It's the command of God. It's an imperative in the Greek language. You just rejoice in the Lord. And you say, well, what if I don't feel like it? He didn't say anything about feeling like it here. Unless you got a different Bible. Do you have a different Bible? We don't have a different Bible. We have the same Bible. I mean, well, I know we've got different translations, but it doesn't say that in the text. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. We don't wait for the feeling. Because we already know who He is when we've changed our mind about Him. We already know who He is and what He's said. And I'm going to tell you this, there's been a number of times the last few weeks that I just feel like, man, I just don't feel it. Have you ever felt that way? I just don't feel it. And immediately I'll say, God, I want to thank You that my life is not based upon the way I feel. But it's based on what I know about You. And what I believe about You, that changes everything. And I'm going to tell you this. I mean, this is the honest truth. Every time I've said that to God, thank You that it's not about a feeling. Guess what? He gives me a feeling. He just does it. And y'all know I'm feely touchy, right? I mean, I got to touch. Got to say hi to you. Got to hug your neck. Well, not your neck, but you know what I'm talking about. And I just want to know. I want you to know. I like that. I like the feel. God, I like to feel the emotion. I like that. And you know, when I get up in some mornings and I don't feel like it, it always works for me. And it's just me. It may not work for you, but it works for me. God, I just want to tell You, I don't feel like doing anything, but I just know You're here and I know You're in my life. And bam, God starts speaking to me. It happens every time. Why? What's that? Because I took my mind and my heart and my eyes off of what I thought I needed to be feeling. And I put it upon Jesus. And you know what? Just something happens when you put your mind and your eyes on Jesus. Amen? Listen, amen. It's the theme of the scripture. Seek first the kingdom of God. Hey, listen, gaze into His righteousness. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on You. I mean, it's just all over scripture. When you change that kind of attitude about who God is, where He is, and what He's doing in your life, I want to tell you, things change. They just change. Circumstances may not change, but you and I change. And that's what the Christian life's all about. So He says, be anxious for nothing, verse 6. And by the way, that means, hey, stop being anxious. Stop it. That's what it means. But in everything, by prayer, verse 6, and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, listen, these are the things you need to dwell on. These are the things you need to think on. You need to, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Let your mind dwell on these things. And the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, it's the Apostle Paul, not me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. We're all looking for peace. Peace in our relationships. Peace during the uncertain times of our careers. Peace in our finances, peace. We're just looking for it. I mean, it's just a part of it. It's a part of life. And every one of us just wants peace. Is that right? We want peace. And it's better than having $1 million in the bank and not having peace. And I'm not saying that if you had $1 million in the bank and you had peace, that wouldn't be bad. That'd be good too, right? But I just want to say, with everything I'm talking about in this message is let's think much of God and less about the stuff that I worry about. We think, we change our mind about God and who He is, and then worry flees. And so what we want to look at here for the next few minutes together is from a position of rejoicing. In other words, I've chosen to rejoice always, even if I don't feel like it, even if the circumstances are bleak, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord because of who He is. And then I'm going to choose, because He makes it a command, to stop being anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Stop being anxious for everything. Listen, be anxious for nothing. Now, what is anxiety? Like last week, I don't think I have to explain it. You know what anxiety is. You know what it's like to wring your hands and your heart, and literally. You know what it's like to be troubled with cares. You know what it's like to assume just the bad stuff. You just assume it, even though the bad stuff may not be here, but you assume loss. You assume death. You assume what somebody else is thinking about you. It's a lot of assumptions to worry, to fear, assumptions that aren't true. Let me just tell you, you change your mind about God and about who He is. I tell you, I believe we won't worry. And so the question I want to ask is, here's the statement, why we don't worry. Don't you would love to come to a place in your life to say, hey, this is why I don't worry. If somebody said to you, who's a worrywart, who's a Martha, like we talked a little bit about last week, if somebody came to you and say, hey, what's happened in you? You don't worry. Last week, my brother mistakenly called my phone. Do you remember that? He phoned my phone. Yeah, it's off. Okay. And you know, I was telling somebody this week, your baby's cry, that doesn't bother me. You get up, go to the bathroom, that doesn't bother me. But a phone seems to bother me. Okay. And so when I heard that go off, I thought in my mind, whose phone is that? I did, I promise. Whose phone is it? Well, that's your phone. And then Brandon, I think it was, going, hey, it's your brother. Well, my poor mama was watching. Mama, if you're still watching, I'm talking about you. She was watching live stream, and all of a sudden, she called my brother and said, what's going on? Everything okay? And he said, yeah, everything's okay. Why? He says, because you just called Mikey's phone. By the way, don't call me Mikey. Don't call me Mikey. You call me Mike. You just called his phone. Well, I didn't mean to call him. Listen, if something went bad, something went wrong, I'd never call him at 20 minutes to 12 Sunday morning. My mom goes again, are you okay? Yeah, we're okay. We're all right. Shelly, I heard, was watching or listening or doing something, and all of a sudden she calls John Ann. Everything okay? Now, this, to get you just in the concept, and just to get you into the... the context of this is my dad is having struggled with dementia, and my mom's had some lung issues. And even though my mom was doing well, and she's doing a whole lot better, thank you for praying, by the way, for my mom. She's doing a whole lot better. Just so grateful for that. And so when I got to the house, I thought, my brother called in the middle of church, and I didn't even worry. I didn't worry. And I thought, my word, because if you know me, and some of you do, I'm a worrier by nature. I mean, that's just what I do. That's my easy button, worry. That's easy. I mean, I do. That's what I've done in my life. Even though I've preached this 100 times, I still struggle with worry. Now, I'm a whole lot better. A whole lot better. But I thought, man, what, that was a milestone for me. I didn't have this urge to say, pick it up, is everything okay? Where I might have been there 5 years ago, 6 years ago, worried sick. And you know, I just really, you know, just moving through this series, in these last couple of weeks in study has just really crystallized some things for me as a natural-born worrier from my flesh. To be able to come to a place in my life to people ask me, hey, you know, you don't seem worried. I want to tell you, there's been things that I can think about to worry about. Like all of us. But you got to stop it. Because it doesn't do one thing for you. What has worry ever done for you? So listen, why do I want to have the vision? This is the vision for all of us in this room today who's in Christ, okay? The vision is, I want someday where somebody comes up to me and say, hey, why don't you worry? Why don't you worry about things? Why aren't you worried about the political season? Why aren't you worried about this diagnosis? Why aren't you worried? And then just fill in the blank. Why aren't you worried about this? Because I've got the peace that surpasses all understanding. And I might not understand why I'm going through it. I may not understand why I have this peace because it's beyond that. But I do know one thing. I know who my God is. And I know certain things about him. Why we don't worry? Why we want to come to this place to say we don't worry? Because I want to tell you, God is sovereign king and he is Lord of it all. Amen. He is sovereign. He is Lord. He sits on his throne. I love the verse of scripture in Psalm 29:10. The Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, watch this. The Lord sits as king forever. What flood do you think he's talking about? He is Lord of the flood. And if he sat as king of that flood, he is sitting as king at your flood. I'm not saying that there's no floods. I'm not saying there's no storms. You may be going in through one today that I don't understand. But I'm just telling you, this is what the word says. He is king. He is Lord. He is creator God. He is the blessed controller of all things. He is Lord. In the day and the moment you begin to confess that, the day you confess in the midst of your trial, in the midst of bad news, in the midst when the messenger comes and says, hey, it's not good, you say, he is Lord. Let's practice that for a moment. Turn to your neighbor and say, he is Lord. Do it. Do you believe that? He is Lord. He was king at the flood. He is king at your flood. He is king at my flood today. And it takes great comfort in knowing that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is in control. Because I'm not in control over parents' health. I'm not in control over finances. Although there's some things I need to be doing financially. I'm not in control. But God is. Now, I've got responsibilities and I've got things that God's called me to do that I need to be obedient in just like that. But let me tell you, you're not in control of the outcome. God is. He is in control. He's Lord. He is sovereign. Don't understand it. Don't understand it all. I'm just telling you, I don't think that God is up there where he just said, okay, I'm going to wind it all up and just throw it out there. And then one day maybe I'll look in and see what's happening. You got to change your mind about God if that's your mind. If that's how you think about God. That he just wound it all up and threw it out there and said, I'll come back in a couple of thousand years and just peek in and see how things are going. No, he is sovereign. He is Lord. He's involved. Second, listen to this. This is that God is sovereign king, but let me tell you, he cares for you. Do you hear that? God cares for you. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the worries, in the midst of the little bitty things that you just kind of fret over, he knows what you're going through, and he cares for you. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 5, just a few pages forward in Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5. Notice what he says in verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, You know, we talked a few weeks about humility, and we've heard some, I've heard some messages on humility lately. And no, humility, just kind of the bottom line is, we talked about a few weeks ago, humility is knowing that He's God and you're not. That you're in need. And you're in desperate need for Him. And so, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That means I've got to start, I've got to get to a place where I'm admitting that I don't know it all. I don't know the whole story. I mean, you know, we don't know the whole story in people's lives. We don't know the whole story, what's going on in the heart. And so sometimes we like to act. I'm going to tell you, and I'm number one guy, I like to act like I know what's going on. But there are times I don't know what's going on. Most of the time, I don't know what's going on. I'm not God. I'm not omniscient. I'm not omnipresent, as the word says. I'm not everywhere at one time. I'm not all-knowing. God is, though. He's Lord. And to humble myself means that I'm going to say, God, you're God. I'm not. I'm a man. I'm just a man. I am a fallen man. But I just want to thank you, Lord, that you have redeemed my fallenness. Amen? You've redeemed my fallenness. You've redeemed me. But I'm still not God. And I still don't know everything. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that He might exalt you at the proper time. Now watch, verse 7. Casting all your anxiety on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. And by the way, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Isn't that interesting that in the context of casting all your anxiety on Him, humbling yourself, He says in verse 8, I mean, just right after that, because you know why? Because you need to stay on the alert because your adversary, the devil, is prowling about. And what the enemy wants to do is to get in your mind and your heart that you know everything and you know it all and you got the answer. And I want to tell you, do that. That's exactly where the enemy fell. When he walked in pride and gave up humility in heaven. Humble yourselves. And in humility, knowing that this is a great God who wants to exalt you at the proper time. And if you'll just cast your anxiety on Him, knowing that He cares for you, I want to tell you, you will position yourself in such a great way spiritually that you will be able to resist the enemy. You will be able to resist him firm in your faith because you know that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Now look at verse 10. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, He Himself will come and perfect you. And confirm you and strengthen you and establish you. And you know, I think Peter is so taken by that in verse 11. I think he just shouts it out. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This jazzes me is what he says. That although I'm going through this suffering, and although I'm going through this time of hardship, and it's just really, really hard, I have to humble myself. I can't wait for my husband to humble himself. I can't wait for my wife to do it. I can't wait for my employer or my employees to do it. I have to do it. I humble myself by a simple statement that says, God, I'm not in control of this. You are. And if you're wrong, you're ready to admit you're wrong. And I tell you, what happens is God comes along and the suffering may continue for just a little while, but this God of all grace who's called you will do these great things in your life. Amen and amen. God is sovereign Lord, and you're not. God cares for you. Let me tell you a third thing about God. God is your Father. He knows what you need. Not only is He King, He's your heavenly dad. Matter of fact, He says it like this in Scripture, that He puts in us the Spirit by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Daddy, Father. Now, I can never imagine calling my dad Father. I just can't imagine that. Not that that's wrong. Not that that's wrong for a child to do that. But I can't imagine ever, ever calling my father, Father. He's my dad. He's my dad. And when I first started talking, I called him Dada. Translate that into Aramaic, it's Abba, Dada. That's the spirit that he puts in you. He is your Abba. He is your Dada. He is your dad. He is your daddy. He is your dad. And this Abba, this daddy, cares for you so much more than your earthly father or daddy could ever do it, even if they did an excellent job of it. He cares for you. You got to change your mind about that. There are people in this world who don't think God cares. They don't. They don't think God cares. They don't think that the Christian life is relevant because somehow God didn't answer their prayers the way they thought that God should answer their prayers. But God answered their prayers. They just weren't aware of it. That God was present in their lives. They weren't aware of it. And for somehow they get them the idea that he's not relevant. He doesn't do what he says he does. But I want to tell you, he does what he says he does. And you got to change your mind about that. He is a God who cares for you. You notice the scripture, Luke chapter 12. It's just the parallel to Matthew, what we looked at last week. All these things, food, clothing, length of life or height, your height of how tall you are, how you look. All these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father already knows your needs. Since he already knows your needs, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he'll give you everything you need. God is sovereign Lord. You're not. I've got to change my mind about that. God cares for you. He's your Father. He knows what you need. And you know what? As I look back over my life, I see another thing about God is that God has always supplied my needs in Christ Jesus. I've never gone hungry. I've always had enough clothes. I've always had shelter. I've always had just maybe a little money in my pocket, even though there was not money in the bank. God has always supplied it. And the promises from Scripture is listen, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. God is sovereign King. He cares for you. God's your Father. He knows what you need. He's your Abba. And he's always supplying your needs in Christ Jesus. Matter of fact, the Bible says, Jesus said, listen, your Heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts to his children. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give to you what you need, the best that you need? You've got to change your mind about God. He is Lord. He is sovereign. He has met those needs. He has met the spiritual need when he gave Christ Jesus to you to die on the cross for your sins. He did the ultimate sacrifice. And the Bible says if he did the ultimate sacrifice, how much more will he freely supply what you need? If he did that for you, he did that for me. God is sovereign King, Lord of all. He's the Lord of all, always. God cares for you. God's your Father, knows what you need. God's always supplied your need in Christ Jesus. And guess what else? God does not worry. He's not wringing his hands. Let me tell you, when you were created to reflect God, and when you're wringing your hands in your worry and your fear, you are not reflecting him because he's not worried. He's got it. It's in his hands. You are in the palm of his hand. No one snatches you out of the hand of God, out of the Father. Listen, I want to reflect God. And when Fritcher worries, which Fritcher does, I'm not reflecting that God who doesn't worry. And so I want to change my mind about God. Let me ask you, how many of you believe that God's worried about history? Wow. Are you telling me that not one person here believes that God is worried? Then why are you reflecting something else other than the great God who's sovereign Lord and is not wringing his hands? Listen to me. There is a peace that surpasses all understanding, according to this passage. There is a peace in this world that knows that God is Lord and he's in control. Change your mind about God. You know why? Because listen, he's not worried. Matter of fact, what God's doing, he's at work. And here's another point. God works it all out. God works it all out. Is that not the promise of the scripture? Romans 8:28-31, the great refrigerator verse of all time, that God causes all things, notice, God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Do you believe that today? Quit wringing your hands. Because God causes it all to work out. Some people say, well, what if I die? I'm going to tell you, the minute you step over, it's all worked out. Amen? Come here. Amen? It all worked out, didn't it? I mean, you step from... Well, what if I die? Let me say this. You're going to die unless Jesus comes back first. And the best way to prepare for death is to live life like God wants you to live. Because I'm going to tell you what happens. When you live like life, you live like that, you step into heaven and it's not much different. Oh, it's glorious. It's perfect. It's that. But you've got the same peace you got in heaven that he gave you on earth. Let me tell you, do you think God wants to withdraw peace from you? You don't want to withdraw peace. The same desperation that you want peace is the same God who wants to give that to you. But listen, when you look at his word, he says, listen, be anxious for nothing. There's things that you do. There's things that you do to walk in agreement with God that causes you not to worry or fear. And, and one of these is just believing that God works it all out. You may not feel it's been worked out yet, but I'm going to tell you, if God's Lord and he's control, he's your father, and he's the great God, it out. Agree with him. Believe him about it. God, I don't feel like you're doing this. I look at my circumstances and I look at the things going on in my life and I think, God, you just seem so far away. But Lord, you seem that way. I know you're not that way. You're in the middle of it all. And I declare that you're Lord, you're God. I confess you as Lord and you work it all out. I know I don't do this much and I'm not going to do it much, but I just feel compelled. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to work out. Do that right now. Doesn't that just, you know what? I need to do that more often, don't I? Because, I mean, I just kind of feels good. It's all going to work out. Will you tell me that? Someone's told me that. It's all going to work out. Thank you, brother. It's all going to work out. That's what we believe about Scripture. Now, here's another thing. God's always present. And he's always working. He's everywhere at one time. Is that right? God is with you right now. He's with you right now. The Bible says that in Psalm 16, one of my favorite verses, close to a life verse, in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hands are pleasures forever. So no matter what you might be going through, God's present. And in your presence is fullness of joy. And God, how many of you believe that God's everywhere? All right. I had something happen in my family a couple weeks ago. I've said it to a couple of people, and I put the picture up. This is Liam. It's Liam. He just turned 4, okay? And that picture just describes him to a T, okay? All right. Now, you can take that off now because I don't want you to be distracted by that. I want you to look at me, okay? His mom, Lauren, was taking him to preschool. And when they got out the car, there was a kitten that was dead. And he said, oh, Mama, I want to see the kitten. She said, while they were walking, he said, oh, he's sleeping right now, baby. He's sleeping. Okay. And this is literally what he did. Okay. And so he walked all the way. Shh. Okay. Don't want to wake him up. But 8 hours later, or 7, he comes, his mom comes to pick up, Lauren comes to pick up, and he says, Mama, I want to see the kitten, see if it's still sleeping. I said, baby, that kitten went to be with Jesus. That kitten's dead. So, well, I still want to see him. She said, well, baby, when I came back out, I threw the kitten in the dumpster. And this is what he said. Now, he can't do his S's right, so I'm just going to. You mean that Jesus is in the dumpster? Oh, I'll tell you what. I get one of those every day. They live with us right now while they're building a house, and it's a certain joy. I mean, it's just a wonderful joy. Jesus lives in the dumpster. Well, let me tell you, if you're in the dumpster, Jesus is in the dumpster with you. He is present. And there's some of you here that Jesus had to dumpster dive to get you out of the dumpster. Is that right? He had a dumpster dive to get you out of the dumpster. Because there's a lot of us in this place that woke up one day and we were in the dumpster. And we found out that Jesus was there. And Jesus is there right now. He's here right now in your life and in your circumstances. And you just got to change your mind about that if you don't believe that. Jesus can be found in every brothel. Because he's everywhere. Jesus can be found in every awful relationship. He can be found ready to work and move. Matter of fact, if you're in Christ, he's already working. You just got to get with the program. He is present in your loss. He is present in your diagnosis. He is present in that relationship. You've got to do what God asks you to do. And I don't mean it like have to strain to do it. I'm just talking about seeking Jesus first and letting everything flow out of that. Can I tell you this? And you can do it. You can do that. Because I want to tell you, instead of having an anxiety attack, it's time for you to attack anxiety. To attack it. By the wonderful principles of the Word of God that comes forth that says, hey, be anxious for nothing. This is who God is. This is why we don't worry. This is why we always rejoice. Now, let me tell you, you attack it with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Real quick, prayer is just communication with God. It's communion with God. Supplication, I love this word, supplication, is a petition. It's something that you're asking God to specifically do in your life or in somebody else's life. So with prayer, communication with God, so that means you're hearing God, you're not just telling God what to do or what you want, okay, or what you need. It's this ongoing conversation with God. And it doesn't just mean that just in the morning in your prayer time. No, you get up from your prayer time and you're still talking. Why? Because God's present. Listen, when you change your mind about the idea that God's present, And you don't think he's present when you're not thinking about it. I want to tell you, he's present. You start to think about him. And there's this ongoing conversation. That's prayer. And then you've got the needs. You want to petition God, okay? And then you're going to thank him. Thank him. Another life verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice in the Lord always. Okay, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now we're going to talk more about that a couple weeks before Thanksgiving. Okay? About being thankful about everything. And how that is just so, it's just miraculous when you're doing that. And so Paul is saying this in 1 Thessalonians. Listen, you need to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And this is what he's saying to the church at Philippi. He's saying, listen, I want you to quit being anxious about all these things. And this is why, you know, he doesn't say this in the text. I brought this to the text today. But listen, we serve this great God. But through prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, tell God what you want. What you want him to do. Now, there's this famous preacher, I don't know, sometime in the 1800s. His name was Moody. D.L. Moody. And you know, story's told that he's getting ready to preach. And this pastor gets up and he starts praying to God. And this is kind of what he says. He says stuff like this. Oh, you majestic, unknowable God. Thou God, so vast, so infinite. Okay. And the story is told that he does this. I mean, he's just using these huge words about God. Unknowable, vast, infinite. And he went on, and he went on, and on. And the story is told that Moody comes up, gets out of his seat, because that's what they did. They sat down here. You know, the pastor sat down here. Remember that? Sat down there, came up to him and said, hey, just call him Father and ask him to do something. Tell God. I mean, what you're seeing in this passage is, listen, prayer, supplicate, petition, asking God, and then thanksgiving him. Tell God what you want. Tell God what you want. Can I tell you something? Something's been happening in my relationship with my wife that's great. And you know what it's been? It's been, we've been praying together. And I know this, that the hardest thing for a man to do, a Christian man to do, is to pray with his wife. I mean, that's just the hardest thing. And most every Christian wife wants her husband to pray for her, with her. And I'm just telling you, it's hard. And, you know, last several weeks we made a commitment to do this. And I'm just going to tell you, I know why. I mean, it's not hard now, but I know why it's hard. The enemy wants to make it hard. And so we've been talking about it. We've been talking, hey, we're praying to God. What do we need to be praying about? What do we need to be praying for? You know, I tell you, when this happened, it happened when I was, when we talked about a couple of weeks ago, a number of weeks ago now, about the mother who prayed for her son. She believed in the power of prayer and the transformation of her son, who was John Newton, the slave trader, who came to Christ and one day wrote, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. So when I look at this passage of Scripture today, there's something fresh that's going on in my mind, in my heart. And you know what it is? It's the power of prayer in the transformation of your people. Now listen to me. And we're going to close with this. The power of prayer in the transformation of your people. Now, who are your people? Well, I mean, if you're a dad, your people are your children. Mom, your people are your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren. Those are your people. The power of prayer in the transformation of your people. I mean, think about it as family. These are my people. This is the next generation that comes from my life and my line. This, and there's the power of prayer, and there's I'm believing in the transformation of my people. My son, my daughter and son's marriage. I believe in the power of prayer and the transformation of our people. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you've got people in that Sunday school. They're your people. God's entrusted them to you. You do home fellowship. If you're back at the square, or if you're back at the house and you're ministering to kids, those are your people. And it may just be for a season. But those who God's trusted you to, trusted you with. And I want to ask you, or I want to just encourage us to believe in the power of the prayer and the transformation of her people. Because that's what we're talking about. Changing your mind. Changing your life. For me, you're my people. Your pastor. And I'm praying for your transformation. And I believe in the power of your transformation. And there's some of you here, you've got sons and daughters that don't seem to be being transformed right now. And I want you to know, Johnny and I are praying for them. The ones we know by name. Tell me who your son is. Tell me who your daughter is. That needs transformation. I'll tell you what, we'll put it on our list. We'll pray for them tonight. Everything in prayer and supplication. Tell God what you want. Let your requests be made known to God. And guess what? He doesn't say the circumstances change immediately. What does he say? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And I want to tell you this, there's just something great about prayer supplication. Prayer supplication and thanksgiving. And just sharing with God what you want to see Him do. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? I shared briefly last week about the season a number of years ago that John Ann and I had gone through. And again, can't really share about all that. Some of you know that story. And it was tough, hard, and we worried, and we fretted. And sometimes we were scared. It's hard. So please hear what I'm saying. When we talk about these principles, I am not downplaying your trial and your struggle today. Please hear me this. There's nothing wrong with being concerned. There's nothing wrong with grieving. Please hear that today. This isn't about scoring touchdowns and being happy about it every single day. Life can be hard, difficult. I'm just telling you that before the circumstances changed, we began to find peace. And that's what I want for you. I want you to find peace. Because peace will guard your heart and peace will guard your mind. So that your heart is not taken away from the main things of God and your mind's not wandering about stupid stuff and stuff that's going to just pull you down to the sewer. The peace guards your mind. It guards your heart. Peace is available for you today. And will you receive it by choosing today to be anxious for nothing, but to communicate with God, to ask Him what you need with thanksgiving? Because you know who God is, and you know what God's done, and you know He's sovereign. You know that He's Lord. You know He's your Father. He knows you care. You know He cares for you. You know He's provided for your needs. He's not going to stop now. He's going to walk through with you because He's present, even in the dumpster. Even in the dumpster. Let's be the people of God who do not worry. Let's be the people of God who do not worry and fret and have health issues because of the worry and the fretting. Let's be people of faith and change our mind about God. Lord, I thank You for the altar today. The altar of Jesus, the altar of the cross, wherever that is, that we get to lay our burden down. Actually, it says that we are to lay our burden on You. Cast our cares on You. Take Your yoke upon us and give us Your yoke. Your yoke and give us and give You our yoke. Your yoke is easy and light. And so I pray just all through this room today that whatever there's worry and fear and fretting about, that right now, in the name of Jesus, by the power of God and by just the movement of the Spirit of God in their mind to change their mind about God, that right now they'll put the burden on Jesus. Because church, a lot of this stuff that you're going through is not your fight. It's God's fight. So let's put the burden where the burden is due. And Jesus says it's due on Him. So right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we take these burdens, we take these circumstances, and we lay them at Your feet. And we say, God, they're Yours. And right now we take the mantle of peace, the yoke of peace on our lives to walk out of this place knowing who our God is, anxious for nothing. And I ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen.